Now, I know you're sitting there sweating bullets thinking that I am going to preach that entire sermon I have sitting up there on the pulpit, and I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is something that I feel led to do, and that is to talk to you a little bit about the book of Amos and about what I read. You know, the book of Amos is this tiny little book, and Amos is considered a minor prophet, and if you've ever read the book, you'll know that it's not a book to read if you want to be cheered up. I mean, Amos just has some things going on. He has some things to say, and, you know, they will bring you down in a real hurry. He speaks judgment. Now, the end of the book gets pretty cheery, but I'm not talking about the end of the book. I'm kind of talking about the middle of the book, the scripture that I read. And Amos, you see, was just this poor shepherd. He trimmed trees for a living. And he was in the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel was broken up into two at that point, and God called him from that humble place. He was like a farmer. But he paid attention to what was going on around him, and he heard the voice of God. And the voice of God called him to do great things. And the voice of God told him that he needed to go and he needed to prophesy to Israel. Well, I have to tell you, he went and he was talking to King Amaziah, and King Amaziah was all bent out of shape because what he had to say was not good. This was not going to be a slap on the wrist for Israel anymore. This was total destruction of the country. God was going to use a pagan nation to totally destroy the nation of Israel. Now, the people that were in the southern kingdom of Judah, they loved Amos, because he was saying all these bad things about Israel. And don't we always love when God takes out his wrath on other people, the bad people? We love that. We like to see people get their just desert. But you know what? After Amos got done talking to Israel, after Amaziah threw him out of the country and said, go back to Judah and go back to your farm, which is what I read, he started also preaching to the kingdom of Judah. And he started telling them that they better repent for their sins, and that they better get right with God, because judgment was also coming on them. And they got so angry with him that they also threw him out. And he had a pretty difficult life because he was faithful to God's leading. Now, I'm not going to preach my whole sermon, but what I wanted to say to you today is that that is the story of our lives as committed Christians. We all come from humble places. Oh my. We all come from situations, you know, who are we? We are not equipped to preach or to even talk about the most important message that there is in the world. There is no more important message than the gospel of Jesus Christ. None. There is nothing you can think of that is more important than that. And who are we to be able to speak that message? We are nobody. But yet, for those who commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls us to do amazing things. Not because we're equipped, not because we are somehow brilliant, but just because we love him and he has decided to use us. It isn't who you are, it's how subject you are. And God will call you, any one of us in this sanctuary, that submits to the Lord Jesus Christ and allows the Holy Spirit to lead us, and he will ask us to do crazy stuff. I mean, stuff that you're going, what? You want me to do what? But yet, that's how he wants to use each one of us in this sanctuary, and nobody's exempt. If you are not doing great things for God, now I'm not talking about talking to presidents necessarily, but maybe so. But if we are not doing great things for God, we are not in his will, because he has great things for each one of you and me to do. Unique things, unique to our personalities and unique to our realms of influence, but great things. And he asks us to not get crazy, to not get all full of anxiety to do these things. He asks us to in his hands so that he can do it through us. There is no... is God cool or what? He calls us to do great things, but then he says, all you need to do is to let me do it through you. Get out of my way. And that's a very awesome thing. But here's the deal. Amos didn't get to sit on silk pillows and be treated well because of the message that he brought. God wants all of us to do great things. But the message that we have in the world in which we live is not a happy one. And your friends, they might love it when you talk about God and you talk about all that love and peace stuff, all that wonderful ooey-gooey fuzzy stuff. They might love that. But if you talk to your friends and there's something they're doing in their lives and you say, man, you need to get right with God, how much do they love to hear that message? You suddenly become person non grata, or whatever they call that. Anyway, that's how it is in the kingdom. We have the best message that there is. And we have people outside of these walls whose lives are a mess and falling apart, but they don't want you to say to them, you need to get right with God. Man, it would all fall together. They don't want to hear that message. But just because they don't want to hear it, it doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't call us to say it. With love and compassion and genuine caring, and he puts us in places that are amazing. Do you know that I have to tell you just a little personal thing, and I promise I won't be long. Do you know that I had never even heard or seen a woman pastor when the Lord called me to be a pastor? Never heard one, never saw one, never heard of it. And the Lord called me to be a pastor, and I still thought women shouldn't do that kind of thing. Do you know what a dichotomy that was in my head? Everybody was telling me, John, most importantly, and in my heart, I knew it to be true, but I'm thinking, I'm a female. If God would have wanted me to do that, he would have made me a man. That was, I got 2 years of sleepless nights until I finally gave up and said, whatever. God uses you to do the most unexpected things. But you can't run off half-cocked like a chicken with his head cut off, because you will get chewed up and spit out. He calls us to be subject to him. I talked to a woman one time. She made curtains for a living. She came with saving knowledge of Jesus. She had been in a church all her life. She had worked hard in the church. She was working her way to heaven as far as she thought. But she came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the light came on her head. And she lamented to me, and she said, what am I doing? Am I making curtains for God? You know, what is he going to do with me? What is he going to do with me? Surely I can do something that of much more worth than making curtains for God. And I said, hold on. Hold on. Rest and just wait and talk to me in a year. And a year later, when she was in seminary and already pastor of the church, and didn't have 2 5-minute segments of time back to back, and was out there making a difference for the Lord, in fact, had been asked to preach in her Byzantine Catholic church, to preach the gospel in a way that they don't always hear it. Making a difference for God, she said, you know what? What was I thinking? I'm thinking now I'd like to make some curtains for God. All of us are called to do great things. Make yourself available to God and just wait on his timing. His timing is perfect. It isn't always going to be easy, but it's awesome. Let's bow down. Father God, we know we're not working our way to heaven. That way is made open to us by the blood of our Savior Jesus, for those of us who claim it. Oh But Lord, for those of us who are sitting here wondering, what is our seat on the bus in the kingdom? What are we doing? What do we need to do for you? We pray that you would help us to rest in your arms and keep our eyes open and to follow your leading, because we know that in your strength and in your timing, if we are willing, we will do awesome things for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I don't know how the last hymn got in the bulletin, because that was not the hymn I picked for today. Hymn I picked was, I think, 82, Victory in Jesus. Oops. Okay. So prepare to stand for the benediction. The benediction is taken from Colossians, chapter 3, verses 15 and following. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, hold on to your hats. It's a good ride. Chapter 3, verses 15 and following. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in